Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 68. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates. There's plenty of room with the animal lacing cars today. Last podcast, I shared experiences about five places for unexpected playtime and learning experiences. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show is an interview with Pawn Sabra, founder, owner of AmericanMuslimMom.com. She shares her experiences of keeping play fun and upfront in her family's lives whilst moving, homeschooling, and remaining active in her faith and local community. I'd love to hear about your experiences with your tots. You can reach the show via Twitter, Facebook, or leave a comment at the site, or you can even drop me an email, and that's at melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. That's M-E-L-I-T-S-A @raisingplayfultots.com. Stay tuned. I'll be right back after this short break.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Today, I'm talking to Pawn Sabra, founder, owner of AmericanMuslimMom.com. It's the number one online blog community for American Muslim mums living in America and abroad. And she's also the author of Empowering Women to Power Network, How to Save Time, Earn More Money, and Live a Life of Success by Building Quality Relationships Everywhere You Go. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you today about play from your perspective as American Muslim mum. I have a lot of questions to get through, but first of all, I wanted to invite you onto the show to share your stories. I really believe that in sharing stories, we are connected to each other more as parents and carers of children. And, you know, sometimes we can do ourselves a disservice when we only have a small group of friends, and especially if where we live or the people that we hang out with isn't as culturally diverse as other places. So we can still find a connection and a new way to play in others. So let's start with a little background. Can you tell us a little bit about your community?
Well, it's really interesting because when people ask that, I always tell them that we're actually a very mobile family. In the last 7 months, we've lived in 3 countries, 2 towns, and next month we're moving to another state. But typically when we're actually stationary for a good amount of time, which we say anything above 6 months, we actually always choose to live in a suburb. And that being because we want to have access to everything within the city, within drivable distance, and we also want access to the rural community as well, because that's a bit about how we live our homeschooling lifestyle that we'll talk about a little bit more throughout this show. So we get a little bit of the best of both worlds. Small town, mixed neighborhoods, and actually it's been really interesting because my girls have been fortunate to live in a very affluent white-dominated community, but then we've also been on the outskirts of an extremely, extremely diverse, it was the most economically diverse community that we were last recently living in. And it was a great experience that my girls were able to have here in the United States, even though we've lived in very poor, poor countries overseas as well.
That's good to hear how you've been as mobile, I think, as we have. I think you top us for the amount of places you've moved to.
Do you travel a lot too?
Well, we're a military family, so yes, we've traveled a little bit. Not as many countries, but we've been in quite a few different houses and in different situations. So I can see where you're coming from with that.
Great.
Can you tell us a little bit about how your website got started?
Actually, it's really interesting. That book that you shared, Empowering Women to Power Notebook, in 2004, the primary reason I came online was to be cost-effective and time-efficient in publicizing my book. And when I came online in 2004, I was very fortunate to connect with internet marketers. So we did an Amazon.com campaign. On its debut, we actually made it a bestseller. So what happened was I became known for my online publicity background, my internet branding. I worked for Women Entrepreneur magazine, online version. So that happened. And always, so back in 2005, I always kept my homeschooling tips. It was more like my electronic brain. Like, where did we go? What summer reading program did we use last summer? And I just kept notes for myself. I didn't use my mom blog in any way. But then in 2009, many, many incredibly spiritual things happened in my entire family. I actually opened an Islamic academy. My girls were integral in developing the curriculum. My husband went to Hajj. That means the pilgrimage that you have to go to in Saudi Arabia once in our lifetime as Muslims. And it was just interesting. I had three or four little mom blogs, homeschool blogs, recipe blogs, and I put it all together and actually officially launched in July 2009, AmericanMuslimMom.com. So it was, wow. Yeah, it was a really exciting launch, and we were really fortunate because within 3 weeks of launching, it entered our month of fast, which is called Ramadan, and it was in August, so people were very curious how you're going to fast that many hours in the summer, and Associated Press actually found me through our search engine optimization. So it was that was really pretty cool, and I had some wonderful publicity from the get-go, positioned me as the voice for, you know, a typical Muslim mom that happens to live in America.
Excellent. Well, let's talk a little bit about your, you mentioned homeschooling. What is play like in your family? What type of things would you consider as playful?
Well, it's interesting because our family, if you see us, we say we work wisely, but we play really hard. One particular example I want to share with you this winter was the biggest snowstorms my girls have ever experienced. We were actually in Connecticut when we came back from overseas. We were visiting my father, and we kept it on our Facebook page, and people were just so interested that I did my unschooly architecture and geometry lessons by building our 6 feet tall igloo. And
oh my goodness.
It was awesome. So I'm 5'2", and we called it phase one was getting our 7-year-old in. And, oh my gosh, it's awful. I don't know how tall she is, but so she's 7. Phase two, we got our 9-year-old in. And when you put a second body, they can't touch. We had perfect rules to this game. Phase three got our 10-year-old in. Phase four was me. And when I got in, we all were extremely comfortable. We didn't touch anything. Our heads didn't touch. We were all sitting up perfectly straight in Indian style. And we made sure we could lay out our legs. It was awesome. And we were so disappointed that it started melting in the snow that we couldn't get daddy or papa to them. My dad, because he was 5'5", and we said, there's no way that we're going to get my husband, which we call Baba in Arabic for daddy. We couldn't get Baba in. That was our big goal to be, you know, to get him. He's 6'2". And it started melting, and, well, and the awful part is I actually didn't take pictures.
Oh,
everyone kept asking pictures. I was like, no, we're only on phase 4. And on phase 2, I took my camera and it actually went in the snow. And I was about to cry because I thought I ruined my camera. I said, that's it. We're not doing any more camera. But that's how we play, and we always involve like an educational piece. And that's how our lifestyle of homeschooling, everything, there's education in everything we do, how we run errands, how we do our chores in our home, how we could do it in the, you know, you always hear me say, yes, be time efficient, be cost effective. And my girls are very, consumer oriented when they know how. Being frugal means being wise with your money. It's not being cheap.
Right.
And that's so play for them. And it's interesting. I'll share you, people, there's a lot of all those, you know, babies read program, and people are like, how is that possible? All my girls, God bless them, were able to read at 3. And our littlest one, it was like 2 months before she turned 3. She was actually able to associate, but all of them were actually writing a series of letters at 2. And what did we do? I did nothing which I thought was extraordinary. I sit, I hug, I cuddle, I read. We play. People keep asking, I need to make a YouTube video. Basically, you first teach them how to make circle and lines, make a lollipop, and then all of a sudden it becomes a P, you know. And we play with, ooh, you made a line, you made an I, you made a T, you made an O. And people didn't realize that kind of playfulness actually caused my girls to be early readers, early writers. And one integral thing, I think, in involving play is they have to see by example. So every single day, so now my oldest is turning 11 in a couple months. Since they were born until this day, they know that there is a certain quiet time. I don't care what you're doing. You have to have a book, a magazine, a newspaper, of course, approved. You know, they don't just read any magazines. My girls only know acceptable. Actually, the magazines they read are education magazines. But we sit down. They see us sitting down. They know that they have to sit down. And they knew that it was interesting because I don't know if you know this, but Arabic, you read right to left.
Yes.
And so the books flip the opposite way, too. So when we realized that, when we were doing, we're like, oh, my gosh, they're reading and writing so early. So then it was almost like playing catch-up. So then when we had our third daughter, we put both of the books, had her associate the different kind of letters, and know that this book happens to have English letters, so you flip left to right, and the book.
Yes.
And it was interesting because she was the one who was able to write and pronunciate both languages, you know, more superior. And she was actually able to read and write quicker than the other two. And that's all about play, right? Like, I never did. And it's real funny because I know too many of my sister's friends because they live in New York and they could pay $600 for this program. They tell me, they're like, oh, it's not working. I go, well, what do they teach you? They're like, oh, they sit in a... I go, I could not even imagine my six-year-old sitting in front of a TV looking at a flashing screen saying dog.
Yes.
How is that playing? No, I never flashed flashcards until they were older. I flashed flashcards when they were older, when they were actually reading, not as a means to having them read.
Yes, yeah. It's very different, isn't it? You have to make choices about the way in which you're going to decide to play.
Right.
And, you know, families make their own decisions about how they do things, but, you know, they have impacts. And, you know, you can really tell... children that have been playful and children that haven't. And, you know, sometimes that's through ignorance and sometimes, you know, they just didn't have the same opportunities that other people have had.
If I could spin off that was one interesting perspective that I have to agree with you on. Two moms, you know, they're like, it's preschool and they're anticipating homeschool. And I just said, you know, do your children listen to you? They're like, oh, of course. Do they love, you know, being with you? They're like, of course. Do they obey you? Yes, of course. Do you play? And they say, oh my gosh, we play too much, and that's why their inhibition to go into homeschooling. I was like, what do you mean you play too much? I go, if you're playing, they're obeying you, they're learning from you. That play is a critical lesson that many, many children and parents are actually missing out on because they don't think that playing has a massive effect on their emotional and academic growth. With developmentally, I am completely for, you know, that's why I love your site and the messages that you have, because it is that playfulness that you gain the confidence and you make that loving environment to cause your kids to want to learn. And once the minute they have the confidence and know-how and the trust in the parents that they want to learn and their parents are going to be them to challenge them and to feed them with all the education that they so righteously want and innocently desire, they will succeed simply because you're able to play with them.
Let's look a little bit about the typical day. You've mentioned a little bit about how you are homeschooling your three children. Let's look at a typical day. What would you say? I mean, it's really difficult to say what a typical day is because I think all of us have very untypical days. There's no day that's alike. But what would be a classic day for you, would you say?
It's interesting when you ask this question because I think about it often. But, you know, when people say, I actually don't have a schedule, when I say, I got this new planner and it was made by moms, for moms. And it says, start off with your annual goals, break it down to your monthly goals, break it down to your weekly. I was like, I don't have annual goals. But when I broke it down, I was like, wow, but you know, our day does have certain sections cut out for certain chores and certain to-do tasks. So specifically, I have online businesses. My girls actually, because we're so mobile, we are fortunate to have online core curriculum. So like their math, science, social studies is actually online. So we could all have our quiet time. I get to work and they get to work. And they feel empowered by that because they feel that their schoolwork is their work. Then we also have, like I shared with you, that silent reading time. That's sacred in our home. We do that. And then, well, to start off, I will say we anchor our entire day on our five prayers. So we start at dawn, and then we have the last one when the sun sets. So we have five prayers throughout our day. And it's something that I just started over the last year and a half. I have to actually have two, if not all three of our meals, sit down and hot meals. Like, I'm not a cold meal person, and we have sandwiches maybe twice a week. But those hot meals, we all come together, and we love inviting guests. We love having friends over all the time. And we prepare the meals together, we eat the meals, and we clean up together. And because we're centered, so first for us, for our faith, second, our food to keep us energized, third, our work. Then we have our reading. We do all of our exercise together. We do all of our errands and our outings together, like the library. We do that probably every other day. We're always in, like, museums and co-ops and private classes that they take. And then in the spring and summer is when we're out every day. When I say, you know, we are a typical not-at-home family, we're a mobile car schooling family, we are. Like in the spring, give us two more weeks. My girls are archers and horseback riders. We're out every day. They are more green in the thumb. They get that from their grandfather, God bless him. I'm not. So they'll be out with my dad gardening like every day. And I love it in the summer because then I actually get more work done because they're like, okay, see you later, Mom. And I was like, okay, as long as you stay on the land, you know, and there's someone there, we're very respectful of our time and we're, and I don't mind it because they work so hard during the winter months. It's kind of like that cabin fever kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've got great balance there. You've got all sorts of things that are going on. And I mean, and that's the whole point of it. And you seem to be in much more control than, you know, a lot of people. They, you know, I know sometimes I feel like I'm out of control with what's going on. I'm being pulled along because I have to be at school at this time or I have to work to somebody else's schedule. But the way you've described it, it's great. You have that flexibility, especially as a homeschooling parent.
And that's something I will be honest with you. When people ask, like, how do you girls feel about it? That's one thing that maintains our humility. We know that we have a certain unique lifestyle that allows us to do this because we are gifted with the means to do that. And we know we're very fortunate to have this. We travel a lot with my husband, but then he ends up traveling a lot more while we're traveling. So,
right.
And,
yes.
Yeah, it's difficult, but we also know there's a give and take, and we know that we're getting a lot more. So when it's our time to take, you know, we give our full share. And that's back to that phrase I told you. We work wisely and we play really hard. My husband will say, "You play a little bit too much." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Sorry.
Yeah, play always looks different from somebody on the outside looking in.
Good.
It's always interesting. Let's think a little bit to the time when you were going to playgrounds, or maybe when you're going to some of your clubs and special activities. How do you manage with your hijab during that time?
Well, it's funny that you would ask, because I would say 99% of the time, we are actually the only Muslim family around. I'm extremely active in the community, civic groups, as well as the homeschooling. I head and or on the board of 11 community groups here throughout the state. So whenever I'm here, they know we're around. But for example, we just organized a physics day at a local amusement park. There was 150 people that attended, and we only had a goal of 50. We're the only homeschool. We're the only Muslim family. So they see this Muslim mom who homeschools, who, believe me, I was probably one of the only moms who got on stage when they did the science fair projects. When I was the one who was riding the rides when the moms were like, "I'm not going to do that." I said, "What are you talking about? Come on, we're learning about physics here. How are you going to learn the physics if we're not twirling around and going up and down with them?" But I don't let my clothes have not been an inhibiting thing. And I'll give you two other funny examples. We always go to Florida once a year because my husband always has some kind of conference. This was the first summer we went during the summer, which I was totally against because it was over 100 degrees, and I actually wear a black hijab. I wear complete black. And it was interesting. Here in the middle of the South, it was actually, so we're going to Busch Gardens. We are actually the biggest. Funny thing was when we went to the what's the big water park? So we're there for the water park, and they're like, "What is this chick doing?" You know, I was like, "It is hot here." And whenever people actually came up, they're like, aren't you hot?" And my best friend and I, we have this ongoing joke, and we just educate people. We're like, "Well, one, no. For one, we have permanent shade, and two, we have a permanent air conditioner." And they're like, "What?" I was like, "Well, for example, you're actually sweating more and getting more hot because the sun is directly hitting your skin. Mine's protected, so, and black, since I'm fully covered and I'm actually in a dress, I'm actually creating the air circulation within my dress that I'm actually cooler than you." You're like, and it's so funny. Everyone would sit there and be like, "Are you for real?" And honestly, yes, I am. Because look at my face. I'm actually not sweating like you are right now here in the sun. So that was the interesting thing when we were in Florida. And it, another thing is, very fashionable that I am. I have great different umbrellas. So in the summer, I have fun umbrellas. And sometimes I'll have my girl's crazy, you know, Barbie umbrella with pink, yellow, crazy colors. So when I go to the beach, they're like, "Oh my gosh, this chick is totally fully covered. And here she is waiting." And yet there's all these moms, you know, who are not covered, and they're not even playing with their kids because they're sunbathing. But I'm actually always playing with my kids, and I have video cameras and cameras coming off my arms because I'm fully involved in the playtime of my girls. And then the next funny thing was in the winter, I actually had an opportunity. They were asking, they're like, "Please, we want to get, the local news wants to take pictures because we have this huge golf course a mile down the road from us." And there was over 200 families that were there. And here's totally in snow. And yes, I have a full hijab, and I even in the winter, I'll wear a full dress with pants underneath it. I'm on top of the slow, like, sledding mountain, pushing my girls and my husband. And it's so funny. And everyone, when I'm walking up the hill, It's great. It actually is. My husband, my girls are so proud. They're like, see, my mom is cool. And I'm always the, you know, people are like, that's so cool. It's always a topic. It's almost like it's so cool that we become a topic of conversation, and we meet so many people wherever we go. So it's a talking piece, and it's also, for us, we call it dawah. Dawah means, like, to introduce or to educate. And it's like I'm sharing a little bit about me just by being out there and not being inhibited because of my dress. Because for me, it's very comfortable and fun.
I'm Maya Bissonnier. I'm founder of Meme Tales. That's MEMETALES.com. We're your home for children's stories, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. It was so much fun talking to Pon. We'll be hearing more from her in the future. I love hearing about how each of us does play in our corner of the world. We can learn so much from all the similar experiences that we have. Well, it's time for the weekly find. This is the part of the show where I highlight a play activity or resource that I have found interesting this week. Typically, like in January, we begin the start of a new term here in September, and there are lots of us trying to start with good habits again. Things like rotating the toys and books, trying not to buy so many toys, donating to local shelters, volunteering at preschool or nursery, spending 10 minutes deliberately one-on-one with each child in the family. We have all of these aspirations, ideas that we want to try. And one thing that usually creeps in around about this time and drops off the list quite quickly is finding a good place to look at quality play activities. We can flick through a book at home, but what about going online right now and finding a play activity to try with your under five child today, or plan one for tomorrow? A good place to start is the Raising Playful Tots Index. Here I've ranked the top 100 play sites. You can search on the sidebar for activities from all the sites listed too. There's a YouTube video to help explain what both of these things are all about, the Raising Playful Tots Index and how to use the Raising Playful Tots Index. Two popular sites well worth a look at are preschoolplaybook.com and preschool-days.com. The first one, Preschool Playbook, with Trish, who's a preschool director. Her site is packed full of activities and ideas. It's a real mixture of activities to do as well. And there are articles also to make you think and consider. And there's competitions to try. So you've got lots of different things going on all on one site. The second site, preschool-days.com, with Kristen, displays lots of colourful pictures to illustrate her activities too. She's also a preschool director, and Preschool Days uses the alphabet as a prompt for her activities. There's two articles I wanted to share with you that are on each of those sites that I really liked and I'm sure you'll love too. On the first site, Fun Farm Animals. Ooh, a bit of a tongue twister. And I'm a Success. That's one to make you think. And the second site is C is for Caution or Celebration. T is for Tall Painting. I'll leave the links to all four of those articles in the show notes. Did you have a good summer? We were unplugged for a long time, and it was great. The kids got to spend a big, big bunch of time with my folks, and I got to recharge and refresh with a two-week time to myself. Okay, I did spend most of it cleaning and tidying up, but still, it was child-free. It was good for them and me to have that experience, and it was our first time that we'd been able to do something like that since we've been traveling around so much. This is the first time that we've been close enough to family that we could do this. And we all more than survived. Even though my parents had three young children for the first time all to themselves for quite a long period of time. During the summer, we also celebrated a third birthday for our youngest with a cake and a balance bike. Boy, does he love that balance bike. Also, my husband came back from being overseas for a year. It's been all go here. What have you been up to this summertime? I hope you've enjoyed the show today. For links to our interview with Pawn Sabra of AmericanMuslimMom.com, to join our newsletter or find some play activities via the Raising Playful Tots Index, then head on over to the show notes at RaisingPlayfulTots.com/68, because that's the number of the show. If you've enjoyed the show, then check out the archive of all the shows, share with your friends. Many of you listen actually via your phone now, but for those of you that don't and are wondering how to do that, you can listen to Raising Playful Tots while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app, and you can find that on your smartphone. You just download Stitcher and you can hear Raising Playful Tots, and there's actually a chance to win some money. Downloading is just quick and easy. You just find Stitcher in the App Store and download it. It just takes a few seconds, and then during registration, you hit the promo code box and enter TOTS, that's T-O-T-S, to get automatically entered to win £100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favourites, and you'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to enter the promo code TOTS, T-O-T-S, when you register. You can listen to the show in many ways, not just via your smartphone, but via iTunes as well, as always, or listen straight from the website. Okay, it's time to go. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 68. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.